Welcome back to Clarity Code to Cash podcast. I'm Sergey Ermakov, your host today, and my guest is Chris Weckler, Solution Director at SAP. And today we will be talking about the next generation of configure price quote systems, and basically how trends that we see on the market today are affecting CPQ system development and increasing the CPQ value for business and customers. So Chris, good to have you on the show. I will let you introduce yourself before we start this conversation.
Oh, sure. Thank you. So yeah, my name is Chris Weckler. I'm a SAP CPQ Solutions Director. I've been in the CPQ space for going on 17 years now. The first 10 of those actually as a customer, complex configure to order. And yeah, glad to be talking with you today, kind of discuss kind of what we're seeing in the CPQ space and where we can take the entire concept.
Yes, thanks. So yeah, I think that we see like that CPQ systems are becoming the standard for many B2B customers, primarily B2B customers. And from the other side, we see typical benefits and typical functionality that CPQ like evolved in last, I would say, two decades. But from the other side, we see a lot of new technology on the market and a lot of new customer requirements that are coming that haven't been there 20 years ago. And I think that one of them could be the requirement from the customers to move to as the service subscription model. Mm-hmm. And a lot of manufacturing companies are building this recurring revenue stream and thinking about the services sales and how the services could be bundled with existing product. And we see a lot of like different requirements coming, like for example, the having this fixed and recurring subscriptions, like product bundling, like different pricing models, like if you go into the pay-as-you-go scenarios, for example, and usage-based scenarios and different changes that subscription contract may require, like amendments, cancellations, renewals, and things like that. So how do you see this basically requirements are being addressed by the CPQ systems? And you're talking on to the customers on the daily basis. How do you see this evolving in the CPQ systems?
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I've seen this a lot, and you know, myself and some of my colleagues here. You know, where CPQ, you know, it started life, you know, more traditional configuration of, you know, capital, you know, equipment, you know, one-time purchase type of scenario. And then, you know, then you had, you know, some of the configuration of subscriptions kind of occurring in its own lane. And now we're really starting to see a lot of companies that are in that traditional capital purchase space trying to transform their business models into the, you know, recurring revenue stream. You know, it's much, much better for capital markets. It's much better for, you know, predicting performance. And they understand that, you know, they want to get to a more steady, predictable revenue stream. So we've seen, you know, companies that would, you know, they've, you know, we've seen it everywhere from high tech to even, you know, manufacturing equipment. Instead of having the customer purchase this $1 million manufacturing cell, instead actually allowing businesses want to give the customer the flexibility to still purchase it if they want to, but perhaps instead of buying it, actually subscribe to that equipment as recurring service with a recurring monthly bill. And then in that case, you know, the equipment manufacturer would go ahead and tack on things like, you know, services for consumables, you know, maintenance contracts and services to go along with that. And that all, not only does that, again, get back to that, you know, enhancing the revenue stream, but also allows, you know, it puts CPQ in the position to expand the deal size and add a lot of that additional services and functionality to what might have originally just been a one-time capital equipment sale, and then you don't see that customer again for 30 years. So, we see a lot of that, and a lot more of that is coming up in the customers that we're talking to in the last couple of years, being able to flip not only selling a product as a service, but being able to flip a physical piece of equipment from a capital CapEx sale to a recurring sale. And the real challenge is, on the CPQ front end, it's, you know, from a technology standpoint, it's not difficult to model different, you know, pricing models in CPQ to set up products to be able to be sold one way or another. The real challenge is actually connecting that front-end flexibility to the back office. And that's where we're really focusing on right now, is how can we, you know, properly not only consume the right data for subscription and contract information, especially if it's an existing customer, you know, forward and into the CPQ experience, but also how can we properly, if that order comes in with a piece of equipment that's sold CapEx, that's the traditional, flows into the ERP system, gets invoiced. But if it comes in as a everything as a service, you know, how do you properly process that order in the back office so that you can still fulfill the customer order for the equipment, but you're not invoicing them? Instead, you're actually turning that part into a subscription. So that's, you know, that's where we're really focusing. And that's really the challenge, getting your front end CPQ to work with your back office ERP for these use cases. And that's, you know, that's really where our focus is right now, with SAP CPQ in particular, to kind of solve that front office to back office around everything as a service.
So yes, I think that also the importance here, as we are like facing in different scenarios, that you usually have different billing systems on the back end for selling subscription products and selling like one-time products. So I think that the typical challenge that also CPQ is helping you to solve is getting the single quote for your one-time sale and for your subscription. And I think that the second biggest challenge is getting the same invoice at the backend side. And yeah, I think that this is like exactly the thing that CPQ is solving at the front, allowing this flexibility for the salespeople. Mm-hmm. And okay, so I think that this is clearly the area where, like, I think that a lot of companies, when they start thinking about selling the subscription products, they should really consider these capabilities within their CPQ system. So, because otherwise it's a lot of manual work and it is not giving you the benefit of really having capability to provide quotes extremely fast and respond to the customer requests. And I think that, well, the next thing that I wanted to discuss with you is another way, again, of doing sales. Like, here we are moving from one product to subscription, one-time product to subscription product. But also we have another trend that is basically visual configuration and augmented mm-hmm. reality that more and more enters the CPQ space. I think that basically the better way to call it is the visual selling. I think that this functionality not only allows you to visualize your products, but it is basically helping you to bring your products to life and allow customers to really, especially on the self-service scenarios, to configure products and in the real time see how the product is changing and explore different options and basically see what they get at the end. So do you get a lot of this type of the requests from the customers right now? And in that use cases that you see on the market, how are they applying this technology today?
Yeah, I mean, visualization, I mean, it's been a pretty common theme in CPQ. I'd say probably start to see a lot more use cases around it, requests for it, in the last 5 to 7 years. So it's been around for a while. And again, as you said, it's really applicable, like when you're configuring equipment or physical goods. I mean, obviously you don't see it in the subscription space quite so much, but, you know, going through and, you know, changing configurations, changing a finish, you know, adding an option, actually being able to see in real time, you know, what that's doing to what the product looks like. That's very important, because just being able to, you know, the traditional capability of being able to just click on a button and it's a picture of what an option looks like, that only tells you so much. But actually being able to see in real time the, you know, 3D, you know, rendering changing, and then being able to spin it around and look at it, that's very important capability, especially for, you know, not only manufacturing, but more like, you know, retail execution, you know, products that would go into commercial space like grocery stores. Even, you know, configurable items like, you know, switch gear and things like that, where you want to see, you know, the layout, or mailboxes, you know, mailboxes for an apartment building. And another recent one that we've seen, where you want to physically be able to see the layout, see exactly what it's going to look like, so you know, what you're configuring is what you're going to get. And that's, again, you know, that's the traditional, you know, respond to configuration, visualization use case that's been around for a while, and just technology has allowed us, allowed CPQ in general to leverage latest and greatest technology to help enhance the visual realisticness of these, you know, really make it look like you're staring at the finished product while you're configuring it. But we do also see, kind of not only visualization responding to what you're doing in CPQ, but customers are now asking a lot more for the actual visualization to drive the configuration. So this would be, you know, more of a drag and drop experience. I want to look at the piece of equipment. I want to click on a particular object in the equipment and then get my options on how to change it. Or I want to drag things around spatially within a room to lay them out, again, going to like a manufacturing cell use case or a mailbox for an apartment building use case, being able to drag stuff around and have constraints fire to tell you what can be close to something else and what can't. Because people are visual, you know, visual people, and they like to see what they're going to get. And we're seeing a lot more of those. Again, the challenge becomes there's only so much information you can convey in a visual configuration, so you need to find the fine line between the heavy computational power of CPQ and the lighter configuration that you need to consider for the visualization, how you kind of get both layers of configuration to work together. And that's one of the, as you're kind of solutioning for these use cases, that's one of the biggest challenges. But on top of that, I mean, you know, even with augmented reality, again, you know, even if you're on Amazon or any other, you know, major e-commerce platform, you'll be able to take an item and see it in your room. And again, that does, we do see that coming up within the CPQ space as well. Again, more geared towards, you know, smaller configurable goods. Like, you wouldn't necessarily, you know, put an entire machine line, you know, visualize that in your bedroom, might not, you know, do you a lot of good. But, you know, being able to visualize a piece of equipment within your space to be able to see what it would look like, even in an industrial setting, we're starting to see that be more important. Again, like, you know, I have seen, you know, part of the area where I still question sometimes innovation and technology being pushed into CPQ space, and sometimes I question the, you know, the usefulness. Is you will see like flashy, you know, like going and configuring in the metaverse with your Oculus glasses on, and, you know, configuring a piece of equipment, and, you know, yeah, that's really flashy. But then again, you need to consider, how accurate can that experience be, and when do you still need to, you know, back that up with, you know, traditional CPQ. So I think there's going to be a lot of swings and misses in this area as the technology involves kind of blurring augmented reality with configuration, with visualization, both driven from the augmented reality experience and also, you know, waiting on the output of the configuration to then drive the augmented reality experience. We're going to see it coming from both ways. And I think that, you know, the devil's going to be in the details on how you handle, you know, complexity while trying to keep it simple enough to operate in those type of platforms. So this will be interesting space to kind of follow what happens the next couple of years.
Yes, and I think that, I mean, the benefits are there. So I think that when you are configuring visually, you get higher conversion rates from the customer side, because they clearly understand what they get, right? And I think that this is the huge benefit for salespeople, even in the field, if they're configuring on their like laptop or iPad, for example, in front of the customer, and are able to show the real model, how it would look like in the real life, or augment it into the environment. I think that this is dramatically helping to close the deal and get the higher conversion rate.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. If you know what you're getting, from what you're going to get, you're much more comfortable opening up the wallet and spending the money.
Yes, and I think that the whole metaverse that you mentioned is opening the huge like market for us, because I think that if we are looking, I think that everybody is looking currently at what could be digitalized and put in the metaverse. So the earlier you get your products there, and I think that, for example, it could be essential for the card distribution sellers and everybody who would be able really to start selling and creating the showrooms in the metaverse and giving the customer this ability to look at the real product. Good. So well, I think that this is extremely interesting. Yes, and I'm really excited to see more and more of these cases, because it's really interesting to see how the technology is getting applied by different businesses. And I would like to move to the next one. I think that it's my favorite one, related to artificial intelligence, because there is so much you can do with artificial intelligence these days. And we already see a lot of things being applied in CPQ systems over the last years. Like, for example, we have everything related to the pricing analytics or the document processing or the same guided selling. That would help you also, for example, in the case if you have the visual configuration to properly guide you through that configuration. So what kind of the scenarios of the AI and the AI applicability in the CPQ you see on your daily meetings with the customers? How do they apply this
technology? Yes, I mean, the two you mentioned right off the bat that are kind of the traditional AI use cases, which are still very, very prevalent, that's the price guidance and price setting, guiding your salespeople to not discount all the way to the floor just to get the sale, but giving them intelligent guidance on how to properly price products or bundles of products for a particular customer, for their particular vertical, based on their purchase history, based on how those products are performing in that particular market, via the geography or an industry. I mean, that's that's typical AI use cases for price guidance and price selling, which those are always prevalent, as well as the cross sell and upsell. Looking at more advanced than the Amazon concept of other customers who bought this also bought that, but taking that to another level and considering all aspects of the customer 360 view and the products and historical bundling within your own industry and your system, and actually being able to recommend, again, upsell and cross-sell. And the whole point there with those two use cases is, again, to control margin creep by, increasing, decreasing discount, smart pricing to get the value of your sale up. But then also with that cross-sell, upsell, AI-driven guidance to increase the deal size in a smart way as well, increase the BOM to, again, drive revenue and drive sales. So that we see all the time. But one of the areas that we're doing a lot of investment and development in is not only, catalog and pricing, but actually within complex configuration itself. So if you're configuring a very complex piece of industrial equipment, or you're, a boiler, for example, or a manufacturing cell, or a robotic arm, or a system of various things, being able to actually leverage AI and machine learning to enhance all of the effort that you typically put into CPQ. So, a good modeler will go in, and they will write logic, and they will write, guidance and hints and all kinds of things to help kind of guide the user through how to properly select and configure a very complex piece of equipment. But that takes a lot of planning and a lot of effort to do that. And you're kind of approaching it from, one point of view, and that's myself as the manufacturer. This is how I think, you should configure this piece of equipment within my guidance. But where where AI can come into play at the configuration level is, while you're still operating within the constraints, the logic of CPQ, you're allowing machine learning to learn from the subject matter experts in your sales force that know how to properly configure and sell this equipment and pick up cues and actually pick that up into the system, and then help empower the rest of your sales force with that machine driven additional guidance and recommendations. And that's kind of the, in AI and CPQ, that's, in my opinion, kind of the secret sauce, getting to that level, to be able to add that value automatically, let the technology do it for you. And that's an area that we're really, really investing hard in right now. It's going to be neat to watch what happens there.
Yes, I think that, this is giving you ability basically to have less trained sales force, and especially at the very beginning when you're hiring the person, it gets like a lot of time for sales guys to get familiar with all the complex configurations and the products. And I think that this is also one of the scenarios that is allowing them to be productive from day one, because they are properly guided through the configuration. And also you mentioned upsells and probably cross-sell is also something that AI could help you with. And we have also another very good example when one of our customers has requested the scenario where they have they're processing extremely large and complex customer request specifications in Excel format. And so the use case was the following, that we have developed a model that is basically taking your complex request specification and then mapping the requirements to your product catalog. And it gets like it saves a lot of time for the salespeople. And this is also another scenario of AI supporting salespeople to create quotations when they're saving a lot of time and avoiding this manual work.
Yep.
So this is another use case that where we see,
I was going to say, like, even that type, I mean, that use case translates very well to certain equipment markets. Back in my former life as a customer, we, prior to having, ability to leverage AI, we tried to build some guidance and logic into some of our configurations that would actually be able to pick up on key components within equipment specification. Because certain industries like the mechanical, HVAC industry, for example, like they will follow very standard specification process. So there's a specific specification format that's used by all engineering firms or most engineering firms. And it does lend itself, very well to being able to, leverage logic and also leverage machine learning to actually, scan and process that specification and be able to map certain requirements to certain options and certain types of equipment. And, we had tried to do that just by doing coding rules and stuff, 15 years ago. It worked a little bit. But yeah, having AI now to help drive that it's a game changer. It's a great use case.
Yes, that's true. So, okay, we have all this nice technology. So we are having AI that is providing the recommendations and help you to choose products. We have all this visual nice configuration in place. And so we have also this ability to get CPQ integrated into the commerce solutions for the B2B. It's the primary, I think, use case, but also you mentioned Amazon, and I think it's also relevant for B2C configurations as well, if we think about going direct to customers. So do you think that we still need salespeople or we could just completely put it on the self-service and customers can basically take control? Or is it more about, for example, giving the options, whether you want to talk to the sales guy and make a configuration for you, or you are doing this through the self-service with all the visual configuration and AI recommendations on how to configure, what the price, etc. So what do you think? Is it like replacing sales guys over the time, or are we still here?
Well, again, I mean, it's a little bit of both. That's a very loaded question. So in the B2B space, we obviously self-service has always been top of mind in B2C, because again, configuration naturally follows an e-commerce path when you're selling direct to customers. So you've always seen you know, customer self-service and configuration in that B2C space, but it's always been non-complex configuration. So if you're configuring your new Lucid Air or your new Tesla on their website, and, you know, stuff like that, where it's, you know, a very short, simple, visually enriched path, you can go ahead and create your configuration and then place the order. That's never going to go away. That's going to continue to be prevalent for the B2C use case. In the B2B market, the request for customer self-service has ramped up considerably. Where I see it very applicable is where it's not incredibly complex configuration, or it's an existing customer and you want to give them the ability to manage their relationship with your customer. So even if you bleed over into the subscription or even back to everything as a service, you know, being able to go in through my portal that you've created me, and I'm a customer and I'm coming in, I can see my equipment, I can see my products, I can see when my contracts are expiring, I can decide I want to go in and I want to add another 500 cycles to this particular subscription and just do that automatically without having to call a salesperson, wait for them to call me back. I think the hands-on approach for, you know, customer maintenance and customer renewals is going to go a long way towards self-service, or even like upgrades and configuration of existing customer assets is another area where I think you're going to see the customer taking control. But at the same token, you're never going to be able to replace, I don't think you're going to be able to replace the salespeople in a B2B, especially in a B2B use case, because there's still aspects that you need your sales guy there for. I mean, when you're dealing with the B2B, you're dealing with negotiated contracts, you're dealing with negotiated pricing, you're dealing with, you know, sometimes discounting things again below floor and then making it up elsewhere. Things like that where you need to have, you know, inside salesperson working with the customer, negotiating, getting approvals from their management and being able to model the profitability of the deal. Those are things that are inside sales. And those are still very, very, you know, crucial components of what CPQ enables that you can't just deliver out and let a customer self-serve themselves that way. And some of the other areas where you do need to be careful trying to push too much onto the customer is if you do have a very complex piece of equipment that does take some knowledge in order to properly size and configure. While you machine learning and, you know, very good modeling and being able to guide the user through that configuration can help a lot, but your customer just may not want to spend 45 minutes picking options and going through, you know, lots of menus and things like that. They may want to just be able to call up their sales guy, say, hey, here's my spec, quote me something. And you're not gonna get away from that. Because you know, I've seen in the past, you know, when we've worked with vendors and they've had, you know, the vendor owner, you know, thinks his product is awesome and he thinks everyone's gonna want to spend hours flipping every lever and looking at every possible option. And we found out that our user base, our salespeople, they weren't interested in that. They're like, this is my application. I need it to do this, I need it to be this size. Give me a couple options to pick from. I'm going to pick one and I'm going to move on with my day. So they wanted the short and easy path, whereas the equipment itself, like from the equipment vendor's point of view, they thought that their customers would want to actually be exposed to the complexity. So it is it's a fine line with self-service, but we're seeing it a lot. We're seeing a lot more in the B2B space. And I find that it's really on both technology providers as well as the implementation partners to really guide the customer on the proper use of the technology and how to apply it to get maximum benefit without it backfiring on you. That's just my opinion in the space.
Yes, I agree. I mean, usually when people are asking what is the biggest benefit of the CPQ system, I think that the main one is that you get people from doing the boring tasks on the daily basis into the customer meetings. And so basically there it is the best place for the sales guy. And I think that this is exactly what is happening. And I think that this technology is basically right now giving another boost of productivity for a lot of salespeople out there. Because even with the self-service, probably the most of the self-service cases are happening with existing customers and with those customers who don't need any assistance. And that means that the salespeople could spend their time more effectively talking to the new customers and bringing new business to the company. So exactly. I think it's a good trend. Yeah, it's a good trend. So great. So I think that, we will see more and more interesting use cases coming in this area. Yes, I want to thank you for this conversation. That was very interesting. I think that also for our listeners. And as always, we are happy to get your feedback and your comments. And also, Chris and I were happy to provide more details if you are interested to discuss your specific use case and see how you could benefit from innovations that we discussed today. So thank you for listening, and I see you in the next episodes. Wanna hear you go.